Just feel my need to have a short prayer here before I begin. Eternal Father, just ask that you would fill my thoughts and my beings and my heart here this morning, Father, that these words could be anointed from you and that they would go forth here, that they would somehow be a blessing to someone here, and that they would somehow nurture and feed some soul here that's seeking their way. Just ask that I could hide behind your wisdom and your power, not of my own strength or my own words here, Father. Just ask that you would guard my lips, you would keep me. Pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn to Ephesians chapter 1. My message today might be a little different in some ways, but I want it to be, my intent is to bring an encouragement, a nugget, something that we take with us for the weeks to come, something that gives us a joy in our hearts. Let's begin reading verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. So, this morning, a lot of the thoughts that I have today are something that came to my mind when Daniel Kenniston was with us last Sunday, and he spoke some on the life of Joseph. And there's a few things that touched me there, not the direction that he was going with that, but the peace and the patience that we see in Joseph's life. He was clearly mistreated from his brothers. He was sold as a slave. And then in that country, you know, he worked hard there, and soon he was the ruler of the house there. And then he was mistreated again. It wasn't right what happened there. He was innocent, but innocently he was put in jail, in prison there again. And think back of the peace that you see coming on the whole thread of Joseph's life. You don't see him spend a lot of time defending himself in any of these actions of things that happened to him. I would like for us to consider our lives. You know, the way that he was able to do this is he was rooted and grounded in God. It wasn't his strength that he was able to do this. If we make a complete surrender and we fully commit to the headship of our Lord, then that peace will come out of our lives in each one of our situations. Maybe we're here today and we've not made that commitment yet. I would encourage you not to leave here until you have that peace which Joseph had. I'm going to talk today to the people that have made that commitment. And maybe they don't have the peace that goes along with the commitment of having the Lord Jesus at the headship of our lives. So, if you're here today and you don't have that peace, God's Word here is the answer for you here today. Seek it out and find that peace. And your lip service, your words, it's not that they're not important, but the way that you gauge whether you have that peace today, how was your life last week? How was it the week before? How is it on Wednesday? If you don't have that peace, I would encourage you to get that before you leave here today. But for those of us that have made that commitment, I want to talk about maybe somehow getting more of that peace in our lives. I want this to be an encouragement. Might not sound like it here at the beginning, but I want it to be an encouragement. I feel that if we made that commitment, when the corners of our heart are completely swept out and Jesus Christ is on the throne of our hearts, we will experience the peace and the rest. It's not just peace, but it's rest. Joseph was in prison for 2 years or more. I read the word 2 years. I didn't do a lot of study on that. That's not what my message is about. But can you imagine if somebody did something wrong to me and I had to do that for 2 years? Would I have the peace that Joseph had? That's a challenge to me. And that was a challenge as Daniel laid that out. But as we see here with what I read, look at the promises that we have. In the first part of this, who are we? Who is it in our heart when we have the Lord as our headship in our heart? You know, we should not have to spend so much time defending our actions and our things that we do. You know, we when we have this, the peace is ours. We have so much in Him. There's so many things that didn't get into my message here. But I want to go to 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to take some of these verses aren't necessarily completely in context here as I'm going to use them. But in chapter 12, verse 9, these are in red in my Bibles. It says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Do we find His grace sufficient in our lives? Or are we constantly manufacturing a little bit of sufficiency? It says His grace is sufficient. We need to claim these promises. My thoughts go to the garden. Do we often find ourselves in the same shoes as Simon Peter? Do we take a swipe, just a little swipe at somebody whenever we feel like we have to defend our position? You know, our Savior fixed that situation too. He bent down and picked up the ear and healed the ear. Do we find ourselves needing our Savior so much during the week when we take a crack or a swipe at maybe it's our brother? A lot of us have unconverted families. How's our relationship with them? Do they dread seeing us coming? Because they know we're going to engage in a discussion. And they know that we're going to have the last word. Because we have God's word. Some of this is good. You mind the Lord on this. I'm not so sure that, as Aiden will tell you, I'm not so sure that a meek and humble approach would have worked with me back in the day. I was a hard man. So you mind the Lord. There's times when things need to be said and there's grounds need to be taken. We are in a war, and I want to talk a little bit about that in the future. But is it always our last word? Do they sense the peace? Do they sense the peace of God flowing from our lives? Or is it turmoil? Maybe we have family that professes Jesus Christ but don't live according to the written will of God. This is also hard. This is also a challenge. But I want to encourage you to remember that that battle was won 2,000 years ago when Christ hung on the cross. We don't have to fight that fight again. He tells us to follow Him. That's what he tells us to do, and live our lives according to His will. I really believe that we as Christians get evaluated more for our actions and what we don't say than for what we say. I believe that, really believe that to be true. I'm not saying we shouldn't communicate. I wholeheartedly support dialogue. I think you know what I'm saying here. But does our so-called defending in our discussion, do we end up always making ourselves look better and the other guy look a little worse? Do we get the last liking? It can become a stench to those around us that don't have the peace. I would like for us to defend God's word and defend the truth. I don't think we should stand there and have things be slandered that don't need to be. Do we feel like our actions constantly need to be defended? If we do, I just question how much peace you have. Also, right along the same lines, you feel like everyone else's actions need to be discussed and scrutinized. You know, if the peace of God is within you, I don't think that's a trait of having the peace of God flowing from your lives and going around and discussing and scrutinizing everybody's this and that. I don't see that. If you're not resting, if we're doing this, we're not resting. This is not the rest that the Bible encourages us in. God's grace is not being sufficient, like He's telling us. Who we are in our minds and who God is in our minds, this will determine the amount of rest that we have in our spirit. If God is in His rightful place, and we see ourselves as the needy individual that we have been and are, there'll be a rest in His leading. Now, I want to say again, I'm not talking about compromise here. This is a vast subject. You could talk for hours on it. To bring a balance to it, we're in a war, but we're not in a turmoil. We're in a war. He calls us to be wise as serpents. So I'm not talking that you should compromise conviction, biblical conviction. You know, let's stand for that. There is a need for witness, and there is a time for needful discussion. I completely support that. But let's do so. Let's endeavor to do so after the peace of God is completely rested on our hearts. If we do that with that type of a spirit and an attitude, those discussions will always have a better outcome than if we go at them with Simon Peter's attitude in the sword. You know, he was going to fight. He was going to fight for the kingdom there. He was going to fight for the Savior. But you know, it wasn't long in my Bible. It's just another. The next column or two over, it talks about where he denied Christ three times. It wasn't in his heart. He was fighting a battle that Christ had to do. The battle has been won, brothers and sisters. It is there. We're engaged in a warfare, but He tells us that the peace in our hearts, that those, our actions and the peace in our heart, if we don't have those, it won't turn out right. I'd like to turn to Colossians, not Corinthians. Colossians 2:10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He tells us that we are complete in him, and all the principalities and the powers is given to us as his children. Let's take these promises and let's live in them. The other thing that I want to look at here a little bit is Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, that's right. The Lord is my shepherd. And I've never looked at that as much as He is our shepherd, you know, and what does He need from His sheep? You know, He leadeth me. It tells us that over and over, He leadeth me. And why is it always me that, you know, thinks that I got to help out here a little bit and I got to do this or that, and say this or that, or I got to defend this or that? You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me put His hand in His. Let me follow His leading here, and let me rest in the peace that He puts there. Back to Ephesians. There's a lot there in that first chapter, but Ephesians 17, chapter 1:17. That the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Tremendous, tremendous promises there that Paul's writing there. That your eyes of understanding may be enlightened. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the workings of His mighty power, which He hath wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to the head over all things, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Brothers, I just want to encourage us to seek out and find that rest. And, you know, I thought about, you know, have you read in where as soon as Joseph was the prime minister, as Daniel said, you know, have you read the account where he took a small band of people and went back to his homeland and told his brothers how bad they mistreated him? You know, I haven't read that account yet, but I'm pretty sure as I'm using Daniel's words, as the prime minister there, he could have done that. He could have let them know, but he chose to let his life show forth the power of God. Thank you.